Man, can I walk down here? Is it okay? Yeah, I'm just going to walk down here. Okay. We have several people that are going to come up and share a lot of the stuff that's been going on over in Kona. Many of you know me. There's a few of you that might not, but we are the Life Center's, like, we're your missionaries. Like, we got sent out of this place 4 years ago. The church still supports us. There are many people in this room that support us, and I want to give you a very quick update about what has been going on the last 4 years. But first, as we were singing up there, I love that song, and the words, testify about the goodness of my God. I wrote it down. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Like, my living hope. Everywhere we go, all of us, not just where we've been, and I'm going to give you a list just so you kind of know, but everywhere we go, there are people that need to know about Jesus Christ, my living hope, your living hope. And we get the opportunity to do that no matter whether we're in Kuski or Stites or Africa or South America or wherever. And the worship this morning was amazing. Because it doesn't matter where we're at. It just matters that we show up and we're like, Jesus, you're worthy no matter what is going on. And I love that we can come back to the Life Center and get up here in front. I love that you guys are coming up front. Feels like Kona. Like, keep that up. Amen. So here's the very quick update, and then I'm going to turn it over to the team. But the beautiful thing about this is we have a team. So we brought 21 people with us. They're kind of dispersed through here. So they're part of the school that Tori and I are running right now called Family Discipleship Training School out of Kona. We're in the fourth school since we've been back. And I just want to tell you like 1 or 2 minutes of what that really is. So every year we have a school that runs for 5 months. And families come from all over the world to do it. And it's 3 months of like intense discipleship, Bible training, learning the heart of God for each of us. I could go on and on, but it's just this incredible set-aside time with the Lord. And then we go out all over the earth for 2 months and just testify about the goodness of our God to people, share the gospel, do mercy ministries, just let as many people we can know about Jesus. And we have 4 teams right now that are running, including the one that we're with. And those teams, I'll talk about our team last, but we have a team in New Zealand right now that's there for 2 months. We have a team in Thailand right now that's going to China in a few weeks. We have a team in Vanuatu, and then they're going to spend a little time in Fiji. So all over the earth, there are people out here sharing about Jesus. And everyone in this room is a part of all those teams. That's the beautiful thing about mission work. You have people that are like excited to be at the very, very front of the lines. And you have the people that are excited about like, I'm so excited to send them. And there's so many opportunities on both sides of that coin. Every person in this room is involved with all those teams and many, many other teams. And I can tell you, I know the people leading those teams. And I know the people in the teams. And their hearts are for people to know Jesus. And they're excited about every day. And they're doing hard stuff. They run into hard stuff and they're excited to just plow through. And this church has made it a part of, has made a chance for all those teams to be out there. So thank you so much. The team that's sitting right here, they started out in Japan. And then we met up, our team was split. We were half in Japan, half of us went straight to Alaka. And now we've all been at Alaka the last couple weeks. And I want to tell you what's been happening there. It's been phenomenal. Alaka has had 1,000 people come through their doors in the last couple months. 1,000 different people come through that camp to get discipled, to get taught about Jesus. I just got those numbers from Johnny this morning. That includes the men's camps, that includes the rental camps. There's one coming next week. But in the camps that they put on themselves, they had 300 kids come in the last month and a half. And they had 21 kids that gave their life to Jesus for the very first time. They had another 80 or so kids that rededicated their life that said, I want Jesus to be back at the center. And every other kid that went through there got to hear that life with Jesus at the center is really the only life there is. That's what every person on this earth was created to do. And amen. And I need to stop talking because we have a lot of other people to share. I just kind of wanted to let you guys know what's been going on since my family of eight stood on this stage and Arby handed us a baton. And this church said, run. And run hard. And we have been running. And we've been running hard. And it has been awesome. And it's been hard sometimes, but it's been awesome. And I wish I could talk to you about each one of my kids and what God's doing in their hearts as they run hard with us, but we do not have time for that because we would leave here at like 4:30 this afternoon. So I'm going to invite He-Man, one of our team members, and he's going to tell you a little about himself and his family, and he's going to share a word with us. So He-Man, could you come up?
Hello, I'm He-Man from South Korea. Yeah, I just want to introduce my family. So, So-Yan, just come up. We want to just Korean way to greeting, kind of greeting. This is my wife, So-Hee, and all this, Grace, and Joy, and Daniel. Yeah. Thank you for great opportunity to share my story. So I just some preparing. So last Saturday, we went to Walmart to buy groceries. It took about 1 hour and 15 minutes one way from Alaka, where we are staying now. I realized once again just how big America is. It was the farthest I have ever traveled just to go grocery shopping. I'm from South Korea, and Korea is a small country. But about 104 years ago, it was an even smaller and more isolated nation that few people around the world even knew about. It was poor, and it would not have been surprising if the country had simply disappeared from history. Yet, God began sending American missionaries to that small and struggling nation. Many missionaries and their children served under extremely difficult conditions, and some even gave their lives. In that way, the seed of the gospel were planted in Korea. Because the fruit of those gospel seeds, my family is able to stand here today. Now, South Korea has become the world's second largest missionary sending nation. Thank you so much. When I was in college, there came a day when I felt deeply grateful for America. I prayed that God would someday give me an opportunity to repay, in some small way, the grace that Korea had received through American missionaries. I carried that desire quietly in my heart, but after getting married and raising three children, it seemed that the direction of my life was moving farther away from the prayer I had prayed years before. But as I look back now, I can see that both the joyful days and the days when my life was so difficult that all hope seemed lost were part of the way God was working in my life. He had placed his desire in my heart, and he was faithfully accomplishing his purpose all along. Then this year, our family began the family DTS in Kona in April, and now we are on outreach here in the United States. Out of all the nations we could have gone to, God sent us to America. During this time, I sensed that God was reminding me that He had remembered my prayer and that He delighted in the desire He had placed in my heart. God has opened a small door for us to repay the grace we received. That doesn't mean we are doing anything grand, nor are we capable of it. We are simply greeting the children who come to the camp, talking to them with the heart of Jesus, and blessing them. In that way, we are sowing small seeds once again. For a very ordinary Korean family like ours to live within the gospel and enjoy freedom in Jesus is entirely due to God's grace extended through all of you. I believe that keeping your place where you meet the Lord as you are doing today is sowing seeds for someone else around the world. And next month, we will be hiking the PCT, Pacific Crest Trail, to share the heart of Jesus with the people we meet along the way. We would deeply appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful hearing your testimony. We are the Milligans, my beautiful children. I'll start with my beautiful wife, Beth, my oldest, Hannah, and Evelyn, my boys, Gideon and Elias. These are rather comfortable. Good job. My wife is going to share.
Wow, it is such an honor to be here with you guys today. As we were worshiping, I just felt this congregation just displays an atmosphere of just gentleness and humility. And I just want to encourage you guys, like, there is so much purpose here. And as we were in Kona, just as Mr. Swan was talking about how it reminds him of Kona, well, all the youth are always running up to the stage in worship, and just to see your church family up on stage or near the stage to worship just melted my heart. It was just, I don't know, you guys are really precious. I've gotten to know a couple of you throughout the last couple weeks, and it has just been such an honor. So I just wanted to share a little bit about our story. We too are from a rural town in Idaho, in North Idaho. And it was just kind of a whisper one night. Our family is really busy. We have so many sports. We have four kids. Three of them are in multiple sports. We led a really busy life, almost too busy. And in this day and age, in these times that we're living in, there's an urgency. There's an urgency to share Jesus right now. And so I was feeling that urgency one night, and the Lord just whispered to me, YWAM. And I knew what YWAM was, but I didn't realize they had a family DTS. And so late at night, I was looking it up, and I found that there was a place for families, a school for families to go. And I just kind of prayed about that, and the next morning got really excited, and I was like, hey, there's YWAM, and there's a family DTS in Hawaii. We should go. And my family looked at me like, ooh, wow, that's a really big dream. That's a really big thought. And it was. It was really overwhelming. And so I plopped my kids on the couch, and my husband and I turned YouTube on to look at the campus, do the campus tour of YWAM. And I was like, do you think you want to go, Ellie? And she was like, only if there's a basketball court. Well, there was a basketball court. and there was a volleyball court. And so it was just fun to see all of that. But then as we were talking about it, we got more serious. But it was a lot to lay down and leave behind. And as we started getting more serious about the thought of doing it, it felt really, really, really big. To leave our family, to leave our horses and our dogs and all the things and leave for 5 months was a lot. And it was really overwhelming. And so we kept thinking about like the finance side, and we kept telling the Lord, okay, Lord, if all this comes together, we'll know that we're supposed to go. If you provide the finances, if you get this in line, then we're supposed to go. And that's faith, right? We were willing to go. So we were preparing our home, we were preparing our friends and our family and our church, and we were getting everything ready to go. But when it came down to the last minute, and our home was ready, and everything was on the line, we weren't funded, and everything was not ready in my eyes. So it was like, okay, Lord, we're not funded. I get like we don't go. But Jeff and Tori sent us a text that said, still come in the last 24 hours before we were supposed to go. And I want to encourage you today, because we did. We took that giant step. It was a jump. And here we are standing in front of you. But sometimes having that faith isn't what we think it should look like. Sometimes it's having that faith and taking that step and then seeing what the Lord's going to do and having that trust. And so I just think about how I would have stayed in my living room and we would have led our continued busy life and we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't have been able to do all the things that we have experienced and what the Lord has done in our life and our kids' life. And so in Hebrews 11, it talks about faith. And we may not know the outcome, and it may be a huge step, but like Noah, he didn't wait for the flood to come. He built the ark first when he heard the Lord. And so if you are on the edge right now of faith and there is something that there's a prompting and the Lord is nudging you, take that jump and trust him. So, and just even being here in this church in Idaho, you guys, I just felt the Lord saying purpose, 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 and there is so much here. So I just want to encourage you with that. Thank you so much for having us, and yeah, it's an honor to be here.
My name is Sohee, and my husband and our three kids, and I joined YUM Family DTS this April. And by God's grace, I have the privilege of sharing his message with you. This time, I want to talk about fear and love, and how God has changed my life through his love. Every one of us struggling with fear. Fear looks different for each of us, but we all know what it feels like. For me, fear has been one of the biggest battles of my life. As a child, I was afraid of my alcoholic father. As I grew up, I was afraid of falling behind other people. As a mom, I was always afraid something would happen to my children. And even after I started following Jesus closely, I became afraid that my fear would stop God's plan for my life, that I would disappoint him. So I tried hard to overcome my fear. I prayed, I fought. And when God called our family to Kona, I thought, oh, finally, God is going to take this fear away. But halfway through DTS, I experienced one of the hardest spiritual battles of my life, we still needed a lot of outreach funding. I got news that my father had been seriously injured in Korea. And I came here wanting God to use me, but I felt like my faith wasn't growing at all. All my fears came crashing down at once. So I went into the prayer room and cried out to God, "Lord, what should I do? I'm doing everything I can. I'm so afraid." A few moments later, God spoke to my heart, "Go to your room and eat a chocolate muffin." I thought, "What?" It made no sense. Then he said it again, "Go to your room and eat a chocolate muffin." And suddenly I understood it wasn't about the muffin, it was his love. God wasn't giving me a strategy, he wasn't giving me a lecture, he was simply loving me. And the peace of God filled my heart. So I went to my room and happily ate the chocolate muffin. The next day, one of our DTS speakers, Dan Bauman, shared the story. When he was young, he was arrested in Iran and spent 9 weeks in prison. Later, God gave him another opportunity to go back to Iran with a friend. But just before getting on the bus, all the memories of prison, the beatings, the fear, came rushing back. He couldn't do it. His friend got on the bus and then stayed behind. He felt crushed because he thought he had failed God. Then God spoke to him, "Go downstairs and get some curry." When I heard that, I couldn't stop laughing. I thought, "God, you really do have a sense of humor." And that moment, God confirmed something he had spoken to me that the day before. His voice is full of love. Years later, missionary Dan finally went back to Iran and shared the gospel. Today, our outreach funds are not fully provided yet, but God has been faithfully and miraculously providing for us. My father is recovering well, and our family is joyfully continuing this journey of faith. Life is a journey of discovering the love of God. Life is not about what we do, it's about who we know. There is no condemnation in God's heart. There is no fear in his character. There are no regrets in him. Our greatest calling is simply to know him more. 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love drives out fear." Today, I want to encourage you with that love. I pray that one day you will have your own chocolate muffin story, a moment when you hear God's loving voice in the middle of your fear and discover that his perfect love is more than enough. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Tina. I'm from Norway. I'm on this trip with my husband and my baby, 1-year-old, but my baby is back there keeping quiet. And my husband right now, he went to attend a wedding. I'm just going to share a short testimony with you guys. And I need to put on a timer just for my own sake because I can talk for a long time if not. When we got to Kona, one of the most important things I learned really quickly, it was seeing how people, when they talked about their life, when they told about their life, they were like, "This is what God did. This is how God led me there. This is like, it was all through a light of what God has done. It wasn't, I did this or I chose that." And when I was going to tell my testimony for our class, I thought that was really hard because I was like, I don't have a big turnover point or anything. And I prayed to God. And God just flipped through my whole life and showed me how he'd been there through it all. And I'm going to share just a small snippet from, it's like 10 years back, but it was when I felt like I had one of my life's biggest decisions. It was choosing what to study. And I prayed so much to God. I was like, I don't want to choose wrong. What do you want me to do? And God just, he didn't say anything, but like it was on my heart that, okay, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a teacher, I want to be an engineer, but I have no clue how to choose between these. And then I had to learn that, or this was the point in my life where I had to start trusting that God would establish my steps as I planned my course. Just as it says in Proverbs 16:9. And so I made up my mind, okay, all my Christian friends, they're going to be nurses and teachers. I should make sure there are more Christian engineers. So I applied to be an engineer. I applied to be a petroleum, like oil and gas engineer. And I did not get in. It was so humbling. It was like God was like, nope, this isn't what you're doing. And the same year, the oil crisis hit. So pretty much, I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. Then I applied the next year as well to a different engineering course, and I got in. But then I had the hardest, what were supposed to be 5 years of my life, but became 6 years of my life, where God just carried me. He carried me through those studies. I failed at least half my classes at least once. And you're allowed to fail a class 3 times in university. I had a class. I failed all those 3 times. I applied for a 4th. I got the 4th and I failed the 4th too. I applied for a 5th and I failed the 5th try. And at this point, they don't have papers to apply for more tries. But somehow, Jesus made a loophole. And the course had somehow, it had slightly changed names throughout the time I had been taking the course. And so I could take it again. I got a 6th try and a 7th try. I failed the 7th try and I ended up taking the course at a different university. But that worked out fine. And he got me through. But at this point, right, failing so much, I lost all faith that, like, I could be an engineer. So I just went off on my own. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do teaching now. I can probably do that well. So I started studying for teaching after my engineering degree. But then God, he had other plans. I just applied for jobs, and I applied for jobs I was not qualified for, but he placed me somewhere. He gave me a job, and I say he gave me a job because these jobs, they require like a lot of, several interview rounds and like testing and checking if you're qualified for the job. They had one talk with me, and they gave me the job. And when I started the job, I wasn't really qualified either. But somehow God moved me around and I ended up in the perfect position. And let's just say this, God just keeps on leading and he keeps on providing. One of the things we had to sort of give up when going to Kona to spend more time with God was the chance to be promoted or like go on with your career. And me wanting many kids, I'm gonna have a lot of time away from that career. And I was kind of worried, do I need to like apply for something else just to have a higher pay before I can have the next kid? 2 weeks into coming to Kona, I got a call from my job and they've been having cutbacks after cutbacks after cutbacks. But they called me up and they said, we have this position where someone is gone and we want you to take over it. From the day you get back, and it is an automatic promotion. And it was like God just saying, don't worry, Tina, I got this under control. You don't need to worry. And so we got to have our next kid on the way. And that is just, I don't know, God has just stayed so faithful throughout my life, and I think he has in all of yours too. So I just want to encourage you to trust God is with you. And yeah, even when things are hard, and like to look back and pray and ask God, where were you then? Where were you there? And just let him show you. Because that was a really amazing journey for my part. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you guys for having us here.
Hello, my name is Hannah. I'm 17 years old. And I just kind of want to share my journey through YWAM and Foundation School, and just a little testimony, something that happened last week as well. So Foundation School is more children's based. It's not really the DTS classes my parents went through. There's children ages in my class 14 to 17, and I was the oldest out of all of them. And at first, I was a little bit discouraged, like, oh man, I really want to be in the older class learning, you know, and growing more, because I just felt like I wasn't going to grow very much with younger people. And the Lord kind of helped me get through that part. And then I was excited. I was like, okay, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. And I'm going to be able to come home and play sports and share the gospel, right? Like, I'm going to learn how to share the gospel. But I got to YWAM, and I realized how wrong I was in both thoughts and both ways of thinking. One, in just how I wasn't going to grow, and two, on how I was supposed to learn how to share the gospel, because I learned that it's not about learning. It's that I didn't truly know him on a level to where I'm able to just share with you guys now. And so that realization hit me pretty early in. And then from that moment forward, I just continued to see the Lord work in me in so many ways. He completely transformed my heart. I guess I just didn't realize or grasp how much he truly loves us. And he wants to remind us every single day. And something that, like, I cling to is one of the weeks we were just talking solely about God's love. And I will never forget the guy speaking. He was this big, old, happy guy from New Zealand. His English was very broken, but he was just so jolly. And his name was Old Ben or something like that. And so he said, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less or more. So no matter how perfect you are, if you are serving and doing as much as you can to glorify the Lord, yes, the Lord loves that, but it doesn't make him love you anymore. And if you do the worst of the worst, you don't serve, but you still love the Lord, right? He doesn't love you any less, because it doesn't matter how much you sin, his love is so unconditional. In the scripture, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. That verse I grew up with all the time, right? Like, perfect love casts out all fear. And then I was like, what is the perfect love? And then I realized that's the Lord, because his love is perfect and he is the definition of love. So the Lord casts out all fear. So his love is just so unconditional. And that changed my thinking. And then another thing that really stuck with me is, if you do the possible, God will do the impossible. Right? So a little testimony with both of those things combined is, last week we have our minivan. We're from Coeur d'Alene, so we drove up. It's kind of funny being here on outreach as all my friends are in Thailand and New Zealand and Vanuatu, but it's incredible. I wouldn't have it any other way. But we have our car, and we have these two captain seats in the back. And one day, we were all really busy trying to get in the car quickly, and someone accidentally broke the lever for the seat to push forward and backwards. So that meant when you touch the gas, the seat flies back. When you touch the brake, the seat flies forward. You can't really have that when you're driving around those curves up to Alaka Bible Camp. So we tried for about 2 hours to fix this chair. My dad took it apart and like broke more things trying to fix it, right? And so it was just really frustrating because I kind of get car sick and our car, like, we have a big family. So we had to seat belt the chair to my dad's chair and just not use it. So 3 weeks go by and we go to the, just like a barbecue last Sunday up in Grangeville. And one of my friends needed a ride home. And you know when you like get that burst of like, I'm gonna fix it, you know, like what if I just didn't fix it right the first time? And so me and my mom go to the car and we're like trying to fix this thing. We're slamming it back and forth, trying to get it to click. Somehow it's not clicking. And so we're like, man, it's just broken. And so it was kind of a rough day. So it was just another thing to add to the bucket list, right? And so I just plop down in the broken chair. My mom goes to get some water and I'm just sitting there like, okay, this is just really frustrating. And I hear a little thought come into my mind that says, you should pray over the chair. I was like, that's really funny. Yeah, okay. I was like, you know, it's worth a shot. I've seen the Lord do so much throughout these past couple months. Like, there's no harm in trying, right? So I close my eyes and I start praying. I'm like, Lord, you are a Lord of many, many things. You are a God of the impossible. I just ask right now in Jesus' name, you will fix the chair. And then I open my eyes and I just sit in this chair and I'm like, okay, do I wiggle? I just don't really know what to do. And then I hear the Lord whisper, Hannah, pull the lever 3 times because that's how much I love you. And I was like, what? So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to try. So I grab the broken lever that's like all floppy and I go 1, 2, 3, click. I could not believe it. He fixed the chair. It is 100% fixed. I just start bawling because I had no idea what else to do. But it hit me. 2 things hit me. One, a chair, it does not matter what it is. The Lord is always listening. It is so hard for me, especially as a 17-year-old teenage girl living in the world that I am, to remember that He is always listening and He is always with us. It is so easy to think that you are by yourself, you're alone, and you have to, you know, do these things to impress certain people, and it's a lot of stress. But He reminded me that He loves me so much and He's always listening, and that He can do anything. So I did the possible. I prayed, right? Even though it was kind of a weak sauce prayer, I didn't really know what I was doing. But He did the impossible of fixing the chair. And it just hit me so hard. And so I think that if I were to take anything away from these past couple of months, from leaving my horse, from leaving my grandparents, like, it was hard. And I would do it all over again because my mindset has been completely transformed forever. I don't even know how I'm here speaking to you guys today because a couple months ago, no. And so I just want to encourage you guys, like, remember that the Lord loves you so, so, so much. He is always listening and He never leaves us, and His perfect love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do. And also, it always casts out all fear. And you don't have to worry. And that's such a reassuring thought for me. And it gives me so much peace. So, thank you guys so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Natalie, I'm part of the Swan family. Also, pardon my voice, I just got done with a week of camp, screaming, so much fun, but my voice paid the price for it. I kind of just want to follow in suit in sharing a little bit about God's love for us and how it's changed my view on worship. For most of my life, I've really struggled with the fact of, I don't know, like, how I can worship because my worship isn't good enough for God, because I'd get distracted or I wouldn't feel into it for the day. And it never felt sincere because I was like, my worship isn't perfect. But not this week, but the week before, we had our 4-5-6 camp and I had a cabin of amazing girls. But a moment that really, really stuck out to me is we were in worship and I was up front with all my girls and I felt God say, I want you to worship on your knees. And I was like, okay. And so I get down on my knees and a bunch of my girls just get down and lay hands on me and they're just worshiping with me and it's this beautiful moment. But the best part is one of my girls, like, you know how like in a moment like that, if something breaks the moment, it can seem kind of awkward. But one of my girls just stops worshiping and looks me dead in the eye. And the carpet on the stairs of the stage of Alaka, it's been there for a while. It's not in the best shape. And she just picks up one of the carpet squares and looks me dead in the eye and goes, this carpet needs stapled down. Sets it back down and goes straight back to worshiping. And I'm over here laughing like, okay. And I go back to worship. And then I just hear God's voice say, Natalie, is she still worshiping? And I'm like, yeah. And God's like, I view you as this little girl. I don't want you to come to worship and expect yourself to be perfect because you can't be. Worship is for you to tell me that you love me because I love you. And that when we go to worship, he doesn't see us as people that need to give him something. God doesn't need our worship. We need it more than he does. But he sees us as his little kids coming and running into his arms to spend time with him and tell him that we love him and that there's no way that we could make our worship more or less perfect than coming with the heart to tell him how much we love him. And that's all.
Hi. I'm Ellie, I'm 14, and I'm going to be a sophomore this year. Today I'm going to be sharing with you guys about my journey with YWAM. When I was little, I had a hard time with shyness. I never wanted to be around people I didn't know. I never made friends. For years, that was my identity. When my parents told me we were going to YWAM, I was absolutely terrified. I did not want to go somewhere where I didn't know anybody. It was going to be so hard for me. So when I got there, I was so overwhelmed. I had to talk to more people in one day than I talked to in a whole month at home. It was rough. In foundation school, I was constantly challenged. I had to speak in front of the class all the time. I had to do one-on-ones with my teachers. It was so hard on me. It was like way out of my comfort zone. After a while, though, I could see the change in me. In foundation school, one of the main topics was identity. I learned that my identity isn't in being an introvert or any of the other things that people can say about me. I also learned that my strength and comfort was not found in those around me, but in Christ only. Now, I'm a completely different person. I've gone evangelizing on the streets in downtown Kona, Hawaii. I have made so many new friends, and as you can see, I am talking in front of you guys right now. So, in the Bible, as I'm sure you all know, it says, be strong and courageous. Over the last few months, I realized that being strong and courageous doesn't mean that I'm not going to be scared. I'm terrified right now. I don't want to be doing this. But the Lord is with me right now. He's giving me the strength to do this, and I know that he's right next to me right now. So he's going to be right by my side through whatever he asked me to do. And that's my challenge for all of you guys today. Know that you will be afraid, but have faith that the Lord is always with you, and you can do anything with Christ who gives you strength. Thank you.
Jeff will come up in a minute and wrap us up, but I just wanted to share something with you as a congregation. I've been crying a lot this morning, so my eyes are still a little blurry. I might need help. I don't know. Hebrews 11. Can a young person come up here? I'm so sorry. I literally cannot read this. Hebrews 11, I think it's 6. And then right there.
Hebrews 11, 6?
Uh-huh.
This one that's highlighted? Okay. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens. Oh, it says aliens. Okay. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth.
I wanted to read that because this morning as we were worshiping and people came forward, I just was so overwhelmed, and it's been very, my heart has been so deeply touched being in the valley for our outreach. I honestly never expected to be home with a team for outreach. And my worlds are intersecting right now a bit, and coming to church and just seeing the people that I love, I have such a deep thankfulness for the faithfulness of the members of this congregation. I look at John and Becky and Donna and Linda. Donna, I could name so many people in this congregation. I see Pat and Bob in the back, just so many of you who come faithfully to church and you pray for this area. And you love people so deeply, including us. And just seeing you all worship here this morning, I just felt so moved to encourage you that your prayers are so special to God. And some of you are praying things that have not been answered yet. And I don't know if you'll see the answer to your prayers here on earth, but I just felt like the Lord wanted you to know that he hears, he cares, and he's so thankful for how much you have faithfully, faithfully served and loved him and others. And I wasn't intending to speak, but I just felt so much like I needed to share that with you. God is so pleased with you and how faithful you've been to pray. And he loves you.
I don't even know if this is possible, Mark. I think the best way to wrap up this service, if we still have the worship team, are they still here?
We're still here.
Could we pull them back up? That song, The Goodness of God, that we finished with, man, what a beautiful way to wrap up this day, to bring these guys back up, to play that one more time. I'll invite as many of you that are mobile and are can or could push yourselves. Let's all gather at the front. Let's literally think about all the good things that he has done in our life. Because we just had a few people share for a few minutes about a couple good things, but each one of us in this room that knows the Lord could come up here and testify about his goodness. So just to wrap up this chapel service, let's sing that together, and then I'll turn it over to Mark, and he can wrap up this whole thing for us. But I just invite you, come on up. Let's worship one more time together. Let's just praise our King. Let's remind ourselves of how good he really is.